Welcome back to Making Conversation, a podcast that features conversations with artists and designers about the journey from bright-eyed newbie to fame monster. I am your host, Justin Ulm, and this is my co-host,
Sean Choi, the scapegoat.
And we are here today with
Tom Chung.
Yeah.
All right.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Yeah.
You are our first long-distance guest.
Yeah. East Coast.
Up until this point, we've only interviewed people within the city of Vancouver, but now...
Well, you guys are trying to... Sorry, you guys are trying to like interview people from Vancouver specifically?
We're starting local, you know.
Yeah.
Keep cool. It regional. Grow with the people we know.
Yeah.
But obviously, this is eventually going to go beyond the borders of Vancouver.
Yeah, for sure. So,
super stoked to chat with you. You seem to have a lot going on in your life these days, and I've just been watching things unfold down your feed on Facebook, and
man, he's been creeping on you, Tom.
Really, yeah. Inactive Facebook account where you can't post on my wall, or I don't post anything.
Yeah, and then I've also watched your website just disappear.
Yeah,
you know? deleted my website mostly because I like don't know how to design a new one. So I'll just take it down for now, you know.
Yeah.
It's all good.
Fair enough. I feel like at some point, you know, I'll just like delete my website too. And like, yeah.
You need to, because like eventually you just like you get a real job and then you don't produce any new work. And then you just look back at this work you produced like 2 years ago in school, and it just is like, oh, I don't want this up anymore. You know what I mean? Yeah.
This doesn't represent me anymore. You know?
Or is this like, it's kind of like a reminder that you haven't done anything in like 2 years. It's just like, oh, my last project was in 2012. Awesome.
Yeah, it's sort of like having like, you know, like something wrong with your body and you're just too lazy to go to the doctor to get it fixed.
Yeah.
Just let it sit.
I'm just going to like watch this happen to me. And, you know, once it gets really bad, I'll like purge or do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Are you from Toronto originally?
No, I'm actually from Vancouver. Vancouver proper. So like Kitsilano. Which is pretty rare, I think.
You're my neighbor then.
you also grew up in Kitsilano?
Yeah, near there, yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah, 7th and U. Well, I guess, yeah, right in there, yeah.
Yeah, I was living on the Oakland 33rd.
Okay.
Yeah, anyhow, so we are curious about your background. Like, were you a creative kid back in the days?
I would say that, like, kind of loosely, but it was never really... my main focus. Like I didn't think I was gonna be going into anything like in terms of university and things like that. I thought I was gonna go into engineering. It was mostly because like my brother was the creative one always. Like he was the creative, like I could draw, but he was just way better at drawing than me.
Nice.
So it was just like, oh, I just kind of do this or whatever. But I think I more like made things. Mm-hmm. As opposed to like drawing or stuff like that. Like I'd like to build things. So it's like the very cliche industrial designer story of the
craftsmanship.
Yeah, like the kid who wants to become an architect and then like wants to build his own house, so he gets into design.
Right.
Yeah. When was like the moment when you realized that industrial design was a thing or even something you could do in life?
I don't know. I think probably when my brother started going on Lee Carr, because for everyone who doesn't know is Andy Chung, who's he went to Lee Carr as well, and he does graphic design, or he did graphic design.
Yeah, actually, I took a science class with him at Lee Carr.
Oh, really? The most legitimate of classes is science class at Lee Carr.
Yeah, that's hilarious. He was sleeping all the way.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like science at Emily Carr can't be the highest caliber of science.
Yeah.
No, definitely not.
I think I saw some people drawing pictures of whales and stuff, you know, for a project, but...
Probably it was me. Yeah.
Not to say there aren't a lot of brilliant, you know, science thinkers maybe that have come out of the school. Who knows?
Oh.
But yeah, I think there was like a newspaper article or something that was like an industrial, like my mom like showed me an article in the newspaper about like an industrial design student who'd built like a bicycle powered ambulance for Africa or something.
Oh, nice.
And then I remember when my brother got into Emily Carr, she really wanted him to go into industrial design because she thought that was where all the money was, which is like the exact opposite of the truth. But that was her impression of like, oh, if you want to, and he wanted to go into like drawing or something at that point. She's like, if you're going to go to art school, you got to go into industrial design.
Oh, man.
Nice. All the money is in human powered ambulances.
That's so funny.
So, yeah, I think that's when I knew what it was anyway, probably, which was about like grade 10 or grade 9. Yeah.
And so at that point, I guess you had the vision of your future, like being an engineer or something like that.
Yeah.
Or an architect, maybe. But then you decided to get a design education. How did that happen? Was there like a revelation or something? Or?
That was kind of... It was kind of like loosely by necessity.
We always joke about editing parts out of our show, but yeah. There's anything you don't want going down in history, it's all good.
No, like I just applied to like last minute. I think like actually Jane was saying the same thing. It's like, I don't know. You like the deadlines for all the schools are coming up. I was like, oh, might as well like apply here too.
And yeah, then, might as well.
Yeah, and then I threw together a portfolio. And actually at the time when I was in grade 12, I was working for like my best friend's dad. He's an architect, Javier Campos, and he runs a Campos Lucky Studio out in Vancouver. Yeah.
And they just relaunched their website.
They did. Oh yeah, you were almost doing some web work for them. I forgot.
Yeah, I almost did some work for them, but then didn't happen, but site looks great anyways. So.
Yeah. So I was working for him at the time, and that's when I kind of had developed this interest for architecture. So that's I was like, oh, well, I'll apply to Emily Carr and do a degree before I go into architecture, but that didn't happen. Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yeah.
Do you feel like your education helped you get to the point where you're at now in your career?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think mostly just like, I got to go on exchange, which was awesome. And
To where?
I studied it in Stockholm in a small furniture school. That they just made like wood furniture.
Nice.
So that was like super cool. And just like the people that are around you, I guess, helps you, you know, develop yourself.
Totally, yeah. So it's a nice like mind-opening experience. I feel like when I look back on those days, it was... very liberal, very creative.
Back in the days.
Yeah.
I mean, especially
to what I do now as a professional designer, it's like there's so many more factors involved when you create something than just going with a wild idea or exploring a concept. So
Yeah, for sure.
I think, well, especially for me, like coming straight out of high school into that program, like I didn't really know how to do anything. So. And had like a very like broad understanding of what design or industrial design or any sort of art education was.
Totally.
So, yeah, that's what school's for, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So like you graduated a couple of years ago and from Emily Carr and your thesis project was Game On.
Yes.
And I kind of feel like that was like the crown jewel of your portfolio at the time. And Game On was featured on like several well-known industrial design kind of slash architecture blogs and websites like This Is Paper, D-Zine, Design Boom, Fast Company. Did you send out that work to those magazines or did they approach you to feature it? Like what was the process there?
Initially, like actually, so what happened was like, I graduated and I didn't have any plans for graduation. So I kind of bought like a one-way ticket down to San Francisco because that's where Andy was. So I was like, oh, I'll just go hang out down there. Maybe like try to knock on some doors or whatever. But I went down there and then I just got like super sick. Like,
what happened?
Like I got some sort of like horrible flu.
Shoot.
And like almost instantly. And I was, I don't remember how long I was down there, but I think I was down there for like a month. Oh, and I had I think I had the flu for like 3 weeks or something. Like, just like crap. Ridiculous. In the summer. Nice. Yeah.
Oh, gross.
Oh,
so my day was just like lying on the couch and and like and hyping myself on the internet. That was like, it's like all I had to do. It was just like, oh, I'll just wake up and then like puke a bit and then just like email people. So that was like my summer for 3 weeks on my brother's couch.
Wow. Nice. It was pretty productive.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was fun at the time, I thought.
Sure.
Yeah.
So other than you got sick and then you sent out the emails when you're like just lying on the couch. So tell us about the like usual process of getting your work out there and like in the industrial design community.
Everyone's hungry for content, right? So I think if you're just not afraid to like share what you're doing with people and if it's like somewhat decent content, people are more or less excited to show your work especially as like a student or a younger designer. Cause now with my work, like I'm dealing with press people and they're not as excited to show your work. Cause it's like, oh, why would we help you monetize like your company when like you don't want to pay us for paid advertisement or something like that. Right. Right. But as a student, they're just like, oh yeah, like let's post this because like, why not?
So
it's really just, I think more about knowing what people want, or at least like, I mean, I'm going to design into a trend and push it out. Like I hope there's actually some sort of content in the work that I'm doing, but it's like at least being aware of like what's going to work or like why you're creating something, if that's your intention.
Right.
And then just like not being afraid to show your work, with people. I also think that the first thing is like make it work and then worry about that.
Right. Plus you got to stay in the school, right?
So plus you got to stay in school. Yeah.
Yeah. You're working for Umbra.
Yeah, yes.
How did that feel to leave Vancouver to go work in Toronto?
I was pretty excited to do it, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Because like at the time, I actually, like it was a very fast hiring process. Because I had a pending offer in Vancouver at a company.
Right.
And the two interview processes were kind of going on at the same time. So it was like really a fast decision. And I have some friends out here. So I'd been out here before. Actually, the trip where I got the flu, I was like in Toronto before. And I was like, yeah, I need to go do something different. So I just decided to move out here.
Nice.
Which was, I don't know. Nice. I like it out here. It's nice.
How do you feel about the art and design scene in Toronto, and how does it compare to Vancouver?
Well, okay, from what I hear from the rest of Canada is that like everyone creating art in Toronto thinks it's like the only important art that's being created in Canada. I feel like that's also like a very outsider of like that's just the general hatred towards Toronto, right, from like the rest of Canada. I would say like from a really surface level analysis, like there's just way more of it and there's way more money in it and there's way more people like creating art, which is exciting to be a part of. Like you get the sense that there are a lot of people in the city like trying to just do something creative. And
that's good.
In that sense, like it's nice because in Vancouver, like there's a handful of really talented people, but it's just such a small community.
Yeah.
I also feel like there's like this sense of like, there's this in Vancouver, there's more of a, I feel like in Vancouver, like the older, like there's like a distinct kind of older generation of like key holders, if that makes sense. And it's not that open to like emerging artists or emerging designers. Is that fair? Like, do you guys feel the same way at all?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I feel like I feel that. Yeah, I'm not super connected to the art scene in Vancouver, like some of my friends are. But I think that there are a lot of really successful people in the 45 plus age demographic.
Yeah, it's such a small market as well.
Tend to dominate all markets.
Yeah. I mean, like. It's just like I moved out to Toronto and I like the first couple of days I was like shopping for, or just like walking around trying to get a sense of the city.
Yeah.
And I walked into a couple of furniture stores that like had galleries or something, and people like, they were it just seemed like there was like a genuine excitement to like, oh, you like, you make stuff or something. Like, how can I help you do what you want to do, or stuff like that. But maybe it's like, I'm just approaching the city differently too, right? When you move somewhere, you're just kind of more open to talking to people and stuff like that. So maybe that has something to do with
For sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Whenever you arrive in a place and you're fresh.
Yeah, you just talk to everybody and you don't really, reckless abandon.
So Tom, what's your role at Umbra?
My role at Umbra right now, I work on kind of like two different sides of the company, I guess. So my main role is, I guess title is like creative lead of Umbra Shift, which is this new, it's a new product line that we just launched, which actually goes for sale online today.
Wow.
Which is, so that's tough. It's exciting because before it was just like fake things that nobody could buy.
Right.
but now we're actually shipping product, which is exciting.
That's crazy. Do you ship like internationally?
Yeah, I think it is. It's shipping internationally because we actually have, four warehouses.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Nice. More than that. Toronto, Buffalo, Amsterdam, Shenzhen, and in South America.
Holy crap. Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. How would you describe the culture of Umbra as you've been there, like, or grown to understand it over the last couple of years?
the tough questions, man.
That's such a like fucking interview.
What's your goal in 5 years, Tom?
What's my 5, 10, and 15 year goals?
No, I'm just teasing.
The culture? Yeah. The culture number? Okay, well, speaking directly towards the design culture, it's a really young team. Mm-hmm. Like, the design director who's is like 36, and then like the team ranges from probably 36 to 22.
Wow.
There's about like 14 of us, and it's a super good group of people. Super nice to work with every day.
So no bullying or troubles.
Minimal bullying, minimal troubles.
That's good.
You know, it's a workplace.
Oh yeah. People to people.
And then like it's kind of got this like I think they've tried to maintain like a small company kind of atmosphere. It's very intimate. like they have all the kind of like the owner likes to talk to everyone and it, like you can get your ideas across.
Right.
To the top, like quite easily, because there isn't that many like levels between that. It's not like they've imposed these crazy kind of processes that eliminates anyone to just say something and then have it go through, which is kind of cool.
Right.
Yeah, that's rad. I feel like Umbra has been a part of like my consciousness, I guess. All the way back into probably high school for me, which is, 15 years ago, I guess. Because I've seen the products at like, stores in Saskatoon or whatever when I was growing up. So it's pretty cool like to hear that about a company that I feel is pretty big, I guess, for industrial design, and especially in Canada and across the world.
Yeah. So. I actually like didn't know very much about the company before I started working there. I knew they made stuff. I knew about Kareem Rashid designing a garbage can, and but then once I started working there, you actually start to look around, especially like in Canada, and it's everywhere. Like it's especially in Toronto, because it's based here. Like every store or like house or anywhere you go, it's like inescapable. Sort of weird. It's like the Canadian. Yeah.
Somebody's got a Umbra mirror or picture frame or closet.
Yeah, exactly. It's everywhere.
Yeah. How have the past 2 years been like starting out kind of maybe at the bottom or as like a entry level industrial designer. I'm not even sure if you were there at that level. And then like growing in the company to this spot now where like you have this title of creative lead of like a product line.
Yeah, that was like a really kind of, I guess, just fortunate sequence of events. Like when I got hired, they didn't really have an idea of where they wanted me to work. And at the same time, there was this kind of huge internal push to like, for brand building, basically.
Right.
And they had just gone on the sourcing trip to all these, Southeast Asian countries. And like the mandate was like real materials, good quality, like independent design stores. And that's all they kind of knew. There wasn't anything beyond that as what they were thinking about. And I came along, I moved here, and then my boss, Matt, kind of told me to like brainstorm some ideas like about what this could be. And then me and a couple other guys at work were kind of tossing around some loose ideas of like what this could turn into. And we were trying we basically just came up with this idea of like a sub brand. I mean, we didn't know what we're doing at the time, like at all. We were just kind of like, oh, we could do something cool. And yeah. And we didn't really have any idea what we were doing. We knew a couple of things actually. Well, we knew one, that we wanted to like work with up and coming, emerging, exciting designers, like to raise the brand profile. We thought that was interesting. And we knew that had to be like a different brand at the start, at least, to like kind of gain credibility, not only with like designers that we wanted to work with that wouldn't necessarily work with us, but I don't know, press and everything. It just needs to be like more than just like a half-hearted attempt at a rebrand, you know. From there, I just kind of kept working on it, and I guess as the brand grew into an actual idea, like I was just in charge of it, and then I got to keep working on it.
You knew you needed a new position in the market and a brand for like press to latch onto and to get designers involved. Like, were you guys literally just sitting around a boardroom table and like talking about these
ideas? This was literally like me, my friend who works, Jordan, and Mingus, and like a couple other people at work, just kind of like sitting in a meeting room, like kind of after hours, just kind of spitballing ideas. And I even the name was like, came up, like, I think Jordan was like, how about Shift? And we're like, yeah, sure. Like, let's call it that. And then it was okay. Also, we had like crazy timelines for all of this. Like we needed to do, like, to act really fast. And so I knew that we had to like create something to send out. If we wanted to get designers to work with us, we needed to like create some sort of brief, and it had to have at least a working name. So we kind of pulled this all together and sent it out, and got some responses, and kind of went from there, and then just kind of, I guess, blossomed from that point.
Yeah. How long was that process? Like, from creating a sort of proposal or a brief that you could send off to other designers, and like up until, you know, this was starting to become a reality and things were in motion.
Well, I pretty much started working on it. We started working on it a couple, like maybe a month after I started, which was in November 2012. And then we just launched it May 2014. So like one and a half years. Wow,
long process.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Which, I mean, making things is so hard. Yeah. Like, totally. Making things like product, I didn't realize how hard it was. It's very difficult.
Yeah.
I was talking to Bo and Alex, and they were like, yeah, man, like we stress out about like print proofs and like colors. Like, how do you make products in multiple materials that need like, it like blew my mind how hard it is to make stuff. You think it's just like a button totally. You press, you just send it out and everything comes back perfect. But
yeah, everybody has that vision of, oh, well, you just send the CAD file.
Yeah, exactly.
And then they just like,
yeah, just push the button and boom, there you are.
How did you approach the designers and even choose the designers that you wanted to be involved with the product line? And like, did you send out an RFP or was it more personal? Like, hey, we're in town and we want to go for coffee with you.
Well, when we first started, I anticipated it being quite difficult just because like at the time we weren't really known for doing the kind of work that the kind of designers we wanted to work with were doing, basically. So we were like, oh man, like how are we going to get like these people to work with us? So we made a brief, like a design brief, like an RFP. It was pretty loose, but I think the gist of it was like, hey, look, we're trying to do something different, like work with us. And then we sent it. It was mostly, I think it was a list of about 40 designers, maybe. There were a couple qualifications. Like we wanted to work with North American designers at first because we felt like as a Canadian company, it was really an opportunity to promote design that's going on here. Right. Because in specifically in industrial design, like you don't get that many companies based in North America that are willing to work with young designers. You have like Herman Miller and you have Knoll and you have these like very, very established companies, but the companies that are doing exciting work to promote talent are mostly over in Europe. And what's going on in North America is this like amazing kind of maker designer movement that's sort of untapped by a lot of companies. So we wanted to like promote Canadian design. We want to promote North American designers. So that was one of the qualifications. And when we sent it out, we didn't really know what was going to happen. Kind of, I actually remember I sent it out and I came home for Christmas and like slowly people filtered in over my Christmas vacation.
Wow.
Some people would like said flat out no, but that was okay. We got like enough people. And then there's also some people that I knew that I wanted to get involved in the project. Like Lucas, for example, who's out in Vancouver. Like Lucas is someone that I sat down for coffee with and was like, yeah, we're trying to do this thing. Kaylin and Conrad, we were trying to do a project with them that unfortunately fell through in sourcing, but they were in on it as well.
Yeah, that's Nothan Brown for all of our listeners.
Very talented guys.
Yeah. A couple of guys we want to talk to on the show in the future.
Yeah, they probably have very good answers for you.
So did you give them like specific like brief on in terms of creativity or like did you give them like full control over the product? How it should look like?
No, we tend to give really open briefs mostly because at this point we didn't know what we were really doing. So we gave them like material. It was mostly like material briefs, like what we could make.
Right.
Which I think when we took product into sourcing, we were really ambitious about what we could make. We learned a lot.
Right.
Because it's not like we were doing these kind of products before, right? It's not like... Because we mostly worked in injection molded plastics at the time and die cast metals, but the projects that we were taking on was like hand woven baskets and like handicraft stuff that we've never done before. So it was quite an experience to take that into. So we basically told them materials, and then there was a really sort of huge focus on stuff that you could purchase yourself, which was like, because a lot of the designers we were reaching out to was like in the 25 to 35 range, it was like we weren't looking for the $4,000 sofa or like, you know, the $3,000 lamp. We wanted like the $30 bottle opener and the like the something you could actually afford to buy without feeling too bad, which is like something that we always try to do as a company. So
that's good.
I overheard from someone, I can't remember who, and then I think you kind of touched on it a little bit earlier in our conversation here, that you went over to Vietnam and the Philippines to visit factories where the products would be made.
Yeah, I actually got to go on two sourcing trips during the production process.
Cool.
And that was like all over Southeast Asia, so I got to go to the Philippines, Vietnam, Thailand, and Taiwan as well.
Right.
Sick.
Crazy.
Did you go for work or were you personally interested in getting over there to see what was
going
on?
No, it was for work. It was for work.
Yeah. What was that experience like?
it's pretty grueling just in terms of travel. We had like we have a 2-week trip and you have to hit up 5 countries.
Crazy.
And
yeah,
every day you just kind of you just crazy. Wake up at like 7 a.m. and then you're just driving forever. And
wow.
Then you come back at like 9, and then you do it again the next day, or you fly.
So it wasn't really a trip. It's more of torturing.
yeah, exactly. And it's funny because like I would go with my, I was on the trip with my boss, my manager, the design director.
Wow, that's intense.
He's like a Caucasian guy.
Right.
But he had lived in China before.
Mm-hmm.
So he speaks Mandarin.
Wow.
But I don't speak any Chinese. And almost, and I'm kind of like, I kind of look like ambiguously Asian to like every country, every country that we went to. So like every time we go and meet with vendors, I'd like come in and it's like very formal. And I was just like, I don't know, I look like I'm like 18 and like I didn't have business cards printed. So I would walk in like some like chump. And then they'd be like, every time I walk in, I'd walk in like after my boss. And then they'd be like, oh good, the translator's here. Like, thank God. Like, here's the translator. And like expect me to just like facilitate.
Crazy.
That's so funny.
It was super cool to go see all the, where everything was made because,
right.
I'd obviously never done that before.
Mm-hmm.
And especially in the countries that mm-hmm. we were going to, it's like, it's a lot of kind of smaller villages where like kind of craft circles are based.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very sort of we visited a lot of like nice, like it wasn't what I expected actually. Like we visited like a lot of nice kind of just like laid back. Like there's this one, like where the rugs were made. It's this like loom factory. We're not even a factory. It's just like, it's a field of looms.
Right.
Underneath mm-hmm. a volcano with just like a bunch of dudes like looming. And it's like, it seemed super pleasant.
Sick. Like,
yeah.
That's so sick.
It was like definitely a cool experience. And then getting to go there and like work with them for a day and be like, oh, this is how you should do it. Or like they're teaching me how to do stuff. And it's just like,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I'm sure I didn't get to see the other side of it mm-hmm. though. I didn't get to go to China or anything to the factories. It was all mm-hmm. outside of China.
Yeah.
Justin and I were looking at the Umbra Shipped website, and then Justin kept saying, this logo and this branding is so Tom Chong. Is this the, like, did you put together the branding?
No, of course not. The branding was done by Post Projects, Vancouver-based design firm.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Sick.
Yeah.
Nice.
Wow.
Yes. Did you guys know that?
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to be chatting with them on Monday. Maybe we should leave it to them to talk about.
Yeah, maybe you guys should leave it to them to talk about the branding.
Wow.
But I'm sure.
Yeah, crazy. I think we should just call it quits on that question with you.
We've had a lot of, I'll just say that they were fun to work with. And that it was a long time working with them.
Any drama?
I'll leave that to them.
Sure. Wow, such a small word.
I have a feeling nobody's gonna say anything too dramatic.
No, they were totally. It was cool to be able to use the like another emerging kind of Canadian design firm to do the branding.
Right.
And it was cool mm-hmm. that I kind of loosely knew them before. So like they all went to Emily Carr too. And like through friends of mm-hmm. friends, like I sort of knew them. So it was good that it all worked out with them.
Right.
Totally. It was really cool to see you guys sort of appear on the scene in New York for the ICFF, International Contemporary Furniture.
That was wild.
And like the exhibition looked amazing. And like all the photos I saw kind of rolling in, and then the press happening later as well. And then you guys got an award, the editor's award for best accessories.
Yes.
I don't know if you got any other awards.
No, it was the only award
that I didn't notice, but how did it feel? to kind of be there?
It was kind of like just like relief. I was like, oh, this is actually over. But then it was a very short moment of relief because I knew none of the projects had shipped, and I knew that we like still didn't have any inventory and that we're still reworking some of the projects. So it was like a momentary relief. But I can tell you a funny story of the morning going down to set up. Actually,
nice.
When we were going down to New York, I was going down with another guy, Jordan. We were both going down to set it up together. He's another designer at work. And then another designer was already down there, Mingus, who's kind of like, he's been working there for a couple of years now, but he's also still in school.
Right.
So we're flying Porter, and then Jordan and I were on the same flight at like 7:30 in the morning. We get to the airport and we're kind of both like sort of excited and glad that we made our flight and stuff like that, because it was really early. And then our flight is oversold.
What?
So yeah, they just like oversold our flight, and they started kicking people off.
What the hell?
So then they're like kind of just going down the list, like, anyone not want to fly today, like, we'll give you a voucher or whatever. And then eventually it comes down to like Jordan getting kicked off the flight. So I was like, all right, I guess like going by myself to do this. And he was just kind of like in shock. He was like,
did he get compensated afterwards?
Yeah, he actually got like, he got a decent, like, he got like a flight basically, which is like, it's his, which is nice. It's
yeah.
Like, his flight, so he got to like not set up in the morning and he got a free flight. but anyway, like, yeah, I showed up. My flight was to like New Jersey. I was like, didn't know what was going on, so I showed up in New Jersey. The tram system was broken, so I did take a cab from New Jersey to Manhattan. Showed up. I don't know if you guys have ever set up a trade show, but it's probably like the most stressful environment you can be in. Especially a like industrial design trade show where everyone's just like disorganized and worried about their samples showing up, and like you have like a mixture of students and professionals and everything's chaos. And then I'd been to a trade show, but I never set up before. Mm-hmm. And I was the only one going down at this point because Jordan was gone. So I showed up to my booth. And I literally had no idea what was going on. I had a piece of paper that like had my like badge on it. So I rolled up and I was like, I go to my booth, and it just I like looked around and I was like, are you kidding me? Like, fuck, like all the stuff had just arrived broken.
Oh,
like every booth element had arrived broken. I was like the only guy there, and I like looked around, and I think across from us was like AriaWare's booth. If it's like, they're like a Brooklyn toy company, and it was just finished. I was like, like their booth was just done. And I was like, what the fuck? Yeah, and then at that point, from there we worked hard. Jordan showed up at like 8 p.m. He got an Air Canada flight, and we kind of made it work. And it turned out so. But that was that was a stressful morning.
Totally.
Holy cow.
Did you design that exhibition space, or was it done by another team within the Umbra studio?
No, I designed the booth for that show.
Nice.
Dope.
Tom, hey, what's your favorite product out of the ship product line?
I really like the bottle opener.
Oh, yeah.
Which is something that we did in-house.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's really neat and kind of clever. I think it embodies a lot of the things that we're trying to do. And I really like the cup lamp. I think it's really nice.
Nice.
I think it's a really nice product.
Yeah.
Cool. I think it's interesting because everyone always kind of has a different opinion on what they like and what they don't like.
Right. My favorite one is the hanger chair. That was my favorite.
Yeah, people love that thing. I guess it's just really kind of universal. You get it. It's like, oh, a hook.
It's so good. Yeah.
Totally. It's funny because the two products that really stick out in my mind are the candles, the candle holders, and then the bottle opener too, actually.
Oh, yeah?
Because I've looked at that the first time I saw that bottle opener, I was like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah.
Like, to be honest, I was like, that doesn't, I don't get it. There's a bottle cap, there's like a ring, you know, like I didn't really get the scale and stuff. And But so it's just really stuck in my mind as like emblematic of the line. Yeah. But
well, I remember when we were working on it in house, we're like looking at it and like the first time it kind of got brought up in conversation, we're like, this is so fucking weird. Like no one's going to understand this. And then like, we just kind of left it sitting around. And
right.
Then, I think one day I was like, no. Oh, this is amazing. We have to do this.
Yeah.
This is like, totally. This is going to do really well. And it's the number one seller right now.
Wow.
It's the most ordered product. Yeah.
It's totally. Good.
Sick. So we like to kind of close the show by asking some more introspective and philosophical questions for our guests. And I don't know if you were anticipating these or not, but we are wondering if you ever have a feeling of discontent and what you do to deal with your discontent if you do have it. And if there's anything you've wanted to kind of tackle next that is just on your mind and you want to go after.
Yeah, I think you're like mostly like not happy with, I don't know, I think you're mostly like dissatisfied as a designer. It's like, you're just like, I don't know. I feel like most people are like dissatisfied with what is happening just because you feel like it can always be better. Mm-hmm. How do you deal with that? I don't know, I guess just by like trying harder.
Drugs and rock and roll.
How do you guys deal with these problems?
Oh,
is do you feel the same way, or am I just like a really pessimistic person?
No, I think I definitely have discontent. Mm-hmm. I'd like to take a moment right now to just say hello to my boss.
Hi, Alan.
Because I'm pretty sure Alan and Nigel are going to be listening to this show. Yeah, I think it's just continuing to refine my taste, mm-hmm. I guess, and finding those sources of inspiration that I can like... I simply just get excited from or get stoked from and try and bring the aspects of that work into my own so that I can just continue to develop things and like create things that I'm proud of and I feel like are in tune with what's inspiring me. That's basically the best answer I could give. I haven't had to do anything like radical lately to like,
yeah.
You know, level the playing field and like go in a new direction completely. But yeah, I'd say that's what I do. So
I think you can also just kind of, when you were saying that, I think you can also just like, I don't like you, something goes horribly wrong and you're just like, well, I won't do it again, you know?
Right. Just learn from pain.
And then you can kind of feel good about it. You're like, mm-hmm. All right, I learned something. So.
Right.
Yeah, totally.
How would you like to be remembered?
Is that a real question?
Yeah, when you're older.
When you're older.
And become more wise.
Yeah. How would you like people to remember you?
Maybe as someone who didn't do that much damage to the environment.
Yeah.
Nice.
Is that a good answer?
Very, very deep.
That's a great answer.
Is that an okay answer?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think that's great. Mm-hmm. That resonates with me. We should just like have a moment of silence.
Pour one out for the environment.
Yeah, totally. I'm just like fearing the day I can't eat sushi anymore. So.
I already did that.
Just coming pretty quick.
Yeah. In a few years.
Yeah. But yeah, where can people find you online? I feel like it's getting harder these days to find you online.
Instagram, I guess, is like the only thing I really update.
Oh, yeah. What's your Instagram?
Cool.
My Instagram is Tom double underscore Chung, Chung. And then my website is tomchung.net. And I've got intentions to put that up again, but it's kind of on the back burner. Cool.
I'm appreciating the artwork as of right now. So.
Yeah, I love the background.
The spray paint artwork?
Yes.
Yeah, it looks great.
Yeah. Cool. I sprayed some paint for that one.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Cool. And yeah, it's been great having you on the show. As everybody who listens to this show probably knows by now, I hope you at least know by now, you can reach us at Making Combo on making underscore combo, sorry, on Twitter. And on iTunes, you can just simply search Making Conversation. We'll have this episode along with all of our past episodes up on makingconversation.ca and on SoundCloud. If you'd like to email us, you have any feedback about the show, you got a question for Tom, you want to maybe send us some poetry to read out.
Send us some junk mails.
That concerns the environment. anything that you would like to use our podcast as some sort of sounding board, you can email us at feedback@makingconversation.ca.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, it's been awesome having you on the show.
Thanks.
Thanks so much for joining us.
No problem.
Yep.
Yeah, and I'll probably be ordering the bottle opener.
Nice.
Hey, Justin, buy me a hangar chair.
Oh, plug.
Nice.
Plug, yeah. Launching at Vancouver Special, August 5th, yes. Main Street.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, totally.
Oh, nice. So,
it's for all the Vancouverites listening.
August 5th, you can
go
pick up Umbra Shift.
Nice.
Yeah. I'll probably be there.